Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Bernis, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. Well, the Hebrew and Gregorian calendars don't align the same each year, but this week is the convergence of the holiest day on the Jewish calendar and the first anniversary of the worst day in Jewish history since the Holocaust. This coming Saturday, which is Shabbat, October 12th, Jewish communities around the world will observe Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. And then next week, we're going to air a traditional Yom Kippur teaching. But this week, we want to remember the horrors that surprised Israel and the world just 1 year ago because they're connected.
That's right.
Ezra, talk about that. There's a connection there.
There is, Jonathan. We have this unlikely, unusual, according to the calendar's convergence, as you said, of the holiest day of the year and the day of greatest grief in modern Jewish thought, modern Jewish history, right? So the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is in Hebrew, it's a Shabbat Shabbaton, and that means a rest of solemn rest. In essence, you do nothing. And we know the scriptures say for the Jewish people, you deny yourself. It's almost as though you don't exist. All that exists is God and His holiness in heaven, right? Who's we know as believers in Yeshua, who has made atonement for us, but it's this time on the Jewish calendar from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, 10 days later, called the Days of Awe. The Jewish people are literally to be in awe of God, to remember that He's holy and that our name is either written in the Book of Life or it's not. And if it's not, that's a big problem.
Yeah, right? He's holy, we're not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it all boils down to. So the Days of Awe on the Jewish calendar, and as you'll recall, a year ago, on October 7th, this was not during the Days of Awe. This was at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, called Sukkot in Hebrew, right? Or booths, tabernacles. And more than that, it was this last and greatest day of the feast, even Simchat Torah, which means the joy of the Word of God. So October 7th was to be, in 2023, the most joyful day on the Jewish calendar.
A huge celebration.
Right? Everyone woke up prepared, or was getting ready to wake up, prepared to dance, to picnic, to celebrate the goodness of the Lord, to celebrate abundance in harvest. And it never happened.
Yeah.
We woke up to news that
a day of joy, utter joy turned to grief.
Right. And so
utter grief.
Israel has recognized October 7th on the Gregorian calendar as the anniversary of the October 7th or Simchat Torah attacks, because how can you take a day of great mourning and attach it to the most joyful day on the Jewish calendar? So this year, Jonathan, Monday, October 7th, is of course the first anniversary of the day when the most Jewish people died in a single day since the Holocaust.
Yeah, I want to highlight what a major decision we're talking about here.
Right.
Israel goes according to the Hebrew calendar.
Normally they do.
Normally.
Right.
But this was such a catastrophic event. They actually switched the Gregorian calendar.
We're recognizing, we're memorializing October 7th again, because you can't take a day of joy and turn it perpetually into a day of mourning. And so that leads us to this year. And more specifically for those watching, it leads us to this week, the 1 year anniversary of October 7th, this Monday, and then 6 days later on Shabbat, on Saturday, October 12th, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur.
Ezra, you know, when you look at the cycle of holidays, the modim, the appointed times in the Hebrew calendar, most of them are celebrations of joy. They're celebrations. They're holidays.
Right.
Yom Kippur is a fast. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of mourning. It's a time of introspection, facing our sins.
Right.
And the need for forgiveness of sins. We're searching our heart. We're preparing ourselves to go before God.
That's right.
And repent before God. And this so epitomizes, this horrific event so epitomizes that just the mourning
Absolutely.
The weeping. I think of a verse in Zechariah, which is not yet come to pass yet, when the Jewish people as a whole, there's a remnant now that believe in Yeshua, that mm-hmm. believe in Jesus, but there's a moment where the larger Jewish community recognizes Yeshua, Jesus, and they cry out to him, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it's a time of weeping and mourning
right.
as they recognize him, of repentance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That verse specifically, as we know very well, says they'll look on the one whom they have pierced. That language sound familiar?
Yeah.
I'm not quoting the Gospels. I'm quoting the Old Testament prophets. The Jewish people will look on the one whom we've pierced, and then it says, and will mourn for him like you would mourn for an only son who's died.
This horrific event has changed Israel permanently.
It has.
Let's look at the history of Israel. 1948, when Israel was declared as a modern state.
Sure.
The Arab nations were convinced that within 2 weeks, maximum a month, they would eradicate this new state.
That's right.
They would be done
with the Zionist dream
and
back to normal.
And they were outnumbered about 60-1.
Right.
This is a little sliver of land the size of Rhode Island or New Jersey in the midst of a sea of Islam, of Arabs committed to the destruction of Israel, certainly at that time.
Right.
No Palestinian people.
Sure.
The surrounding enemies, Jordan, Syria, Egypt, committed to the destruction of Israel, and Israel survives. Am Yisrael Chai.
This vulnerable fledgling state, a day old and attacked from all sides, somehow
survives
miraculously.
And I think that it instilled in the Jewish people this incredible confidence in their ability to survive as a people. But I think it became detached from God. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. We're tough.
We have
an invincible army. And I think that grew and was perpetuated in 1967. We have in 1967 what's called the Six-Day War. Mm-hmm. Now think about this, a six-day war. They fought for 6 days, vastly outnumbered, and they rested on the seventh day. That's the hand of God.
Exactly. And
so
more than
clearly,
just rested, they gained a great victory and actually retook Jerusalem back into Jewish hands for the first time in two millennia.
But it perpetuated this idea, we are invincible. We have these enemies, we have to be on guard, but we're tough. We're a powerful nation. And I think that's true. But without God, they're susceptible. And I think we're facing that reality now.
Yeah. Jonathan, I'm thinking of the verse, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God, right? This is in the Psalms. It's a scripture written by and for the Jewish people and for all of us who are believers, of course. But I think that's being brought to bear now, isn't it? We've trusted in the Israel Defense Force, and praise God for a strong, organized Israel Defense Force. We've trusted in the military leadership. We've trusted maybe in America coming to Israel's aid.
And border security.
Exactly.
Right? We have
exactly.
great security.
And yet, on October 7th, we were all reminded, especially those living in the land of Israel, were reminded that those things can fail. And not only can they did. This recognition that our own Israel Defense Force can protect us to a point, but they're not the Lord, and they can't protect us entirely. And unfortunately, there was a failure of that protection on October 7th. That vulnerability, though, in the last year, and the awareness that if there is a God, I need to hear from him now, has opened incredible doors of spiritual opportunity in Israel. And Jonathan, we, with friends, family on the ground in Israel, living through this crisis, now a year old and still ongoing, we're hearing that Google searches in Hebrew for the Psalms, for example, are at an all-time high. Now, why is that? Did people get more religious? No, people got more desperate. They realized our natural strength has come to an end here.
Yes.
And if there is a God, we need him to intervene now.
Yeah. It's a shame that we have to go through crisis.
Right.
As someone once said to me, you have to go so low that you have only one way to look, and that's up.
Right.
And it's true. I think as a nation right now, Israel is beginning to look up.
Exactly.
More than ever.
Exactly. And spoiler alert, if you're wondering where we're going, you need to be those who understand the times and seasons. And our purpose today is to equip you to pray with specificity, to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. I know you're praying for the protection of the land of Israel. Keep doing that. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But pray that this week especially, between October 7th, 1 year anniversary, and the Day of Atonement, this holiest day on the Jewish calendar, that the Lord would break through and break into the lives and hearts of Jewish people.
Yeah, Ezra, just very quickly, something else that's very profound that's come out of this. There was a great outpouring of sympathy when this happened, right after it happened. The United Nations declared...
Condemned the attacks.
Yeah. America, certainly. Europe condemned the attacks. There was worldwide sympathy, but it was so short-lived. Within 2 weeks,
right,
there was condemnation of Israel right away. And not only condemnation of Israel, but growing anti-Semitism that sweeped across Europe and across the United States. It was dramatic. It was shocking to me, and it's a reality.
Exactly.
And you who are watching need to be aware of that. You who love Israel and love the Jewish people need to see that this is happening. It's happening on our college campuses. It's happening with younger generations. It's getting worse and worse, and we need to stand up and proclaim that God cares about Israel. He cares about the Jewish people, and you need to be praying and standing against anti-Semitism wherever you see it, wherever you see it. We need to take a short break, but we want you to see how you can partner with Jewish Voice to bring physical and spiritual healing directly to those in Israel. Watch now.
At this one-year anniversary, if you're feeling the call of being commissioned by God, we invite you to let the world know you're here. Wear the yellow ribbon for hostages pin or a simple wristband with the words, "Still Standing with Israel." Make a one-time gift of $40 or more, and we'll send you the pin, the wristband, and the Peace of Jerusalem prayer journal. It's a place to record your prayers and how God answers them. With a sense of urgency, we invite you also to become a Shalom partner with that first gift of $30 a month or more. We'll send you the pin, wristband, and the prayer journal, plus this fully functional ram's horn and polished wooden stand. Display in your home, the shofar inspires prayer and conversation. Jewish Voice is collaborating with more than 80 respected ministries on the ground in Israel to provide urgently needed humanitarian aid, plus spiritual healing, sharing the gospel with hurting families and wounded soldiers of the Israel Defense Forces, even reaching out to Arab families with special food packages, and much more. As a Shalom partner, 100% of your monthly gift of $30 or more will be invested in this critical work. Please call this toll-free number or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Your gift will be tantamount to blowing the shofar to open ears of the world. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. Ezra, we're focusing this week on the one-year remembrance of this horrible, horrible event in Israel. Every time I think of it, I get emotional.
Right.
The worst tragedy in Jewish history since the Holocaust.
Sure. This Monday, October 7th, is of course the one-year anniversary, and I remember I was in my sukkah for the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, in my booth that my wife and I built in our backyard, expecting to celebrate, and celebrate we did not. We received text after text from my wife's family in Israel saying, "Our lives are in danger." My brother-in-law saying, I'm going into Gaza to fight. Pray for me for protection." It's, as you said, to think of it brings up the emotion. It brings up the grief, the trauma that most in Israel, probably all in Israel, are still experiencing now as 1 year into this mess. It's just gotten more complicated.
It has
indeed. It's just
indeed
gotten more complicated.
It has. It was really a 9/11 experience for me. I know exactly where I was. My oldest daughter, because they have Israeli citizenship, really wanted to leave school and do her military service.
Yes, you know,
very moving.
What's interesting statistically, you may be shocked to hear this, is that the rate of Aliyah is Jewish people returning to the land of Israel to call it home and become citizens. Jonathan, after the massacres, it didn't plummet.
Right.
It skyrocketed.
Right.
Even in the worst of times, Jewish men, women, and children around the world said, something is drawing me back to our homeland, and I need to be there even in dark times.
Ezra, I want to focus for a little while on the spiritual root of this, because this really is a spiritual battle.
Right.
And it's gone on for millennia. But looking at the modern state of Israel, you have three crisis points. You have 1948, mm-hmm. when Israel declares statehood.
Right.
And the next day, they're attacked, mm-hmm. vastly outnumbered.
Right.
God performs a miracle. They survive and they begin to thrive mm-hmm. as a nation. But they were in fear of being destroyed,
sure.
wiped out. And the Arab attackers were convinced that they would succeed within two
right.
weeks to a month.
And it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Then we have 1967, the Six-Day War, another miracle of God, mm-hmm. vastly outnumbered, about 60-1. And in 6 days, they destroy the Egyptian Air Force, regain a whole bunch of land that was promised to them,
sure.
according to Genesis. And then you have this pride. We're victorious.
Jerusalem is back in Jewish hands.
Right.
What could go
yes.
wrong?
Very powerful. But then 1973 hits, and it's Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Not by chance.
Right.
By calculation, there is an attack against Israel on Yom Kippur. Why Yom Kippur?
Right. Because, remember, it's not only the holiest day of the year, it's a day of complete rest. No one's driving, no one's working, no one's leaving their home except to go to synagogue and pray. It's also a day of fasting. Effectively, the entire Israeli population doesn't eat, and many, the more religious, don't eat or drink. So think about this. It's still hot in Israel, September, October. October in 1973,
right?
Actually, October 6th,
yep.
to be specific. It's hot, and people have no food or water. Israel is at its weakest, most vulnerable moment of the entire year, and a coalition of Arab forces launch a surprise attack.
Right, and most of them are in synagogue. Right? So they're isolated, and what a great time for an attack.
Right.
Now, but it was the worst day to attack, actually.
Yeah.
They didn't think that Israel would even respond, right? Yom Kippur, no work. We're not going to fight.
That's right.
But what happened, they were all gathered in synagogues. So
right.
Israel was able to just pick them up in the synagogues with trucks.
And they bring them to the front.
Bring them to the front immediately.
And
God worked it together for good.
He did. And then fast forward, you may not have put this together, 50 years to the day after the Yom Kippur War, so 1973, October 7th, 2023, the night of October 6th into early morning October 7th, is the massacre we're all familiar with.
Right.
Another attack.
Right.
Again, at a vulnerable moment for Israel. People are at home with their families celebrating. The enemy knows this. Actually, if you listen to the interviews of Hamas terrorists who were captured, they said, we knew what we were doing. We knew to do that day.
Yep.
It was a time of vulnerability.
I think there's two things. One, the strategy of the enemy.
Right.
In a physical sense, the strategy went to attack, will attack on Yom Kippur. But it goes deeper than that. This is a spiritual battle at its root. And it goes back to the commitment to destroy the children of Israel.
Right.
Right? Why the children of Israel? Because God declared that through the children of Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now, that's true on once and in a physical sense, when you look at the contribution of the Jewish people in medicine and the arts and sciences,
sure.
Literature, economics, etc. But there's a bigger fulfillment, and that's the Messiah.
That's right.
The Messiah, a blessing to the world, the only begotten Son of God that God gave to the whole world was to come through the Jewish people, and his return is also connected to the Jewish people recognizing him and crying out,
right.
Blessed is you, comes in the name of the Lord.
And not only recognizing him, Jonathan, recognizing him in Jerusalem, right? Yeshua's own words, Jesus' own words. I tell you the truth, you won't see me again until you, Jerusalem, which figuratively is speaking of Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem, cry out, blessed is you, comes in the name of the Lord.
You have to understand that this is a spiritual attack that affects you, that involves you?
Jonathan, it does involve every one of us. I'm thinking of the passage in Isaiah 62. It says, "You who call on the name of the Lord." Do you call on the name of the Lord? We do. I think you do too. "You who call on the name of the Lord, give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth."
That's
and Jonathan,
right.
On every one of our programs, we're encouraging our audience, Psalm 122:6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But what does it mean?
Don't you think it's interesting that the day after the massacre, Hamas is declaring we're going to take Jerusalem?
Right.
Now?
They're calling upon all the radicalized Muslims on earth, okay? All radicalized Muslims to have a day of marching upon Jerusalem. So in a time when the world should be saying, how could these atrocities have happened, the radicalized Muslim world says, again, in a moment of vulnerability, now is our chance to do what we've had in mind all along and to take Jerusalem for Allah,
for
Islam.
For Allah. But here's what the scripture says. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Psalm 122:6. If you go back to the Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. It means more than peace. It's not just praying for a cessation of conflict, but shalom means to bring to completion, to bring to wholeness,
right,
to bring to conclusion. And what God is asking us to do, to ask you to do, is to pray for God's plans and purposes for the land and people of Israel to come to completion.
Absolutely.
To come to completion. And ultimately, that means the return of Yeshua, Jesus, to Jerusalem,
Amen.
Physical Jerusalem.
Amen.
He's not coming back to London. He's not coming back to Rome or New York. He's coming back to Jerusalem when the Jewish people of that land cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And we're the ones that are to pray that into existence.
That's right. So let's unpack Isaiah 62 in light of what you just shared, Jonathan. So give the Lord no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise. When is Jerusalem going to be a praise? When Yeshua, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes back in a resurrected body to rule over the nations of the earth from Jerusalem. When is he going to do that? When Jewish people in Jerusalem, in the land of Israel, recognize who he is.
And when are they going to recognize him? When we pray through as intercessors, standing in the gap, praying for the salvation of Israel and proclaiming the good news
Amen.
To the Jew first. So
Amen.
Why should I care about this? Every reason, if you care about Yeshua, Jesus, coming back to this earth.
That's right. And now more than ever, really, this week, folks, between the 1 year anniversary of the atrocities of October 7th and the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, we're asking you to pray like you've never prayed before for
Amen.
The peace of Jerusalem, for the defense of the borders of the land of Israel, and most importantly, for the salvation
yes.
and open hearts and open spiritual eyes for Jewish people around the world.
Amen. Amen. We want you to hear about an opportunity to partner with Jewish Voice directly in Israel. Stay tuned because we'll be back in a moment to pray for you, for your family, as well as offer the gift of eternal life.
At this 1 year anniversary, if you're feeling the call of being commissioned by God, we invite you to let the world know you're here. Wear the yellow ribbon for hostages pin or a simple wristband with the words, "Still Standing with Israel." Make a one-time gift of $40 or more, and we'll send you the pin, the wristband, and the Peace of Jerusalem prayer journal. It's a place to record your prayers and how God answers them. With a sense of urgency, we invite you also to become a Shalom partner. With that first gift of $30 a month or more, we'll send you the pin, wristband, and the prayer journal, plus this fully functional ram's horn and polished wooden stand. Display in your home, the shofar inspires prayer and conversation. Jewish Voice is collaborating with more than 80 respected ministries on the ground in Israel to provide urgently needed humanitarian aid, plus spiritual healing, sharing the gospel with hurting families and wounded soldiers of the Israel Defense Forces, even reaching out to Arab families with special food packages and much more. As a Shalom partner, 100% of your monthly gift of $30 or more will be invested in this critical work. Please call this toll-free number or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Your gift will be tantamount to blowing the shofar to open ears of the world. Thank you so much.
We have just a minute and a half left, and I'd be remiss, Ezra and I would be remiss, if we didn't tell you that the most important thing that you need to get out of this program today is that God loves you, He cares about you, and he sent his son to die for you so that you could have the gift of eternal life. That's the most important thing. If you haven't made that commitment, it's so simple. That happened to me. This happened to me 44 years ago, and I've never been the same. All you have to do is to tell God you want him to change your life. You'll live for him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to believe that Yeshua, Jesus, died for you, and he will change your life. You will become a new creation. And I want to pray over you. Ezra, let's pray over people. Maybe you have loved ones that haven't come to the Lord. We're trusting with you. Eternal life is the great hope that's ahead.
Amen.
And we want that for every one of your family members. More importantly, God does. So we speak salvation over your household. We speak salvation into the life of your loved ones. We speak salvation to your friends. We speak salvation to you. May you stand before God holy because you've surrendered your life to him. And we pray also that you will still stand with Israel. Be strong, be of good courage.
Amen.
Keep pressing on in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to jewishvoice.tv and you'll find many helpful resources. You can also send your prayer request to us right from the website. I want you to know that we care about you, and more importantly, God cares about you, and we will be praying for your needs. As we close our program, I want to remind you, as we enter Yom Kippur, pray for the Jewish people, pray for their salvation, pray for God's completion, his peace, his shalom, to be fulfilled for Jerusalem and the people of Israel. Thank you to Ezra and for joining me today. And until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis saying shalom and God bless you.
Will you join Jewish Voice by becoming a Shalom partner? One of the best ways you can live out the opportunity and calling you have as a Christian to be a witness to the Jewish people is as a committed monthly Shalom partner. When you give monthly, 100% of your donations will go directly to our ministry work. Please prayerfully consider joining us as a Shalom partner today. Go to jewishvoice.tv to join now.